Well, it is all about the timing. We have Sitka Fine Arts Camp instructors Scott Davis and Andrew Hames to tell us a little bit more about those final performances. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, we don't often have the PSA perfectly timed with the guests, but I'll start with you, Scott. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here.
And how many times have you been back as an instructor, performer?
Right. Andrew and I will often do the sit down and try to do math like that, and I did it this year. Some years I just don't, but I think I figured out that this is my 28th year of coming to Sitka for the camps, you know, initially as a camper and then as a counselor and then as, you know, a teacher and a director. So, yeah, quite a while that I've been coming to the camp.
Andrew, did you do the math as well?
I have, kind of. I know it was 20 years ago, 1993, that I first came as a camper, and Scott was a counselor that year. And so then I was able to just keep coming as a camper and then eventually work my way into being a counselor. And then I was... Roger offered me the job of teaching choir 1 year, and that was 10 years ago. So this is my 10th summer as a teacher. Mm-hmm. So it's been 2/3 of my life I've been involved in camp.
So as a camper, were you projecting like someday this could be my job?
I was really inspired by the teachers I would work with. And so, yeah, definitely. It was at camp, and many music, those of us that have gone on to be music teachers relate back to, or just art teachers, we relate back to camp and thinking, I think I might want to do this with my career, with my job, if I can keep doing this. Because, of course, I was so inspired by the different teachers I worked with, and they all seemed like such great people. And so, yeah, I thought, I want to be one of those people and inspire others to do the work.
And you also worked with the Packers, right?
Right.
So Ginny, I think there are a lot of your listeners who probably remember the Packers, and Ginny and Lance brought life back to the camp at one point when, in its various stages, you know, it's gone through these waves of almost not making it. And it seems like that's one of the things that happens here in town, is that there are these artists that come in and teach during the fine arts camp sessions, but it really dovetails and blends with what's happening in the schools. So these kids that get turned on to, in this case, you know, singing, are encouraged to come to the camp and work with some new mentors. And that was, I think, what I saw happening with Ed Littlefield also, and Andrew. And if you can imagine, there are probably also some of your listeners who recall when they were little middle schoolers and they had a little barbershop quartet. And it was the most charming thing. I still remember that very well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there were so many of us just locally here in Sitka. And I remember Mrs. Packer just saying, you're going to go to camp this summer. That's what you should do. I mean, she knew that it would be a great fit for all of us that were in our classes. And so, yeah, coming and being a part of that. And there's so many of us out there now that can kind of trace back. I think Roger Schmidt would tell you the same thing, that it was at camp that he had ideas of, I want to do something with the trombone. I want to go somewhere with that and become a professional. And yeah, definitely the fires get lit at camp for many, many people.
It must feel like a reunion every time you come in the summer.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I always look forward to seeing everybody. Yeah, especially guys like Scott. And it's just great. And my friend Ed, and, you know, we've grown up together. And I just know that camp is always, that's where we're going to meet back up, and we can reflect on the year and just do projects together. It's great.
So speaking of the camp experience, were there a lot of folks from outside of Sitka that would go to camp? Because the population now of campers are from all over the place.
I think that there's been a significant growth in sort of the diversity of communities that are represented now. My experience was, initially, I would come because my grandparents were here, and we were coming up all the way from Maryland, but we were one of the only families that had kids coming to the camp. It was really a Southeast Alaska organization, and there were other arts camps in other parts of the state. At that point, there was so much oil money that there was funding for a camp in Fairbanks, and there was one at Kings Lake, I seem to recall. There might have been another one as well. So it was much more regional, in my memory anyhow, than it is today.
And I think now the camp primarily draws from all over Alaska. The stats, Roger always goes over them at performances, and a lot of the kids do come from Southeast, and then we get a bunch from Anchorage now, and from all over the state. But there are quite a few that come up from the lower 48, and like Scott said, a lot of times they have a connection in town. There's a family member who lives here, and so while they're here, they'll do camp. But many of us who are teachers, there's a lot of teachers, public teachers from like the Bay Area or from Idaho. I've been really proud and been able to bring up a few kids from Idaho to attend camp, and also from California. And other school places. The Berks brought us or encouraged a student from the Illinois area to come up. So a lot of times they'll have a connection, but it's starting to get that the national awareness of the camp and the musical theater camp that we're about to start. You know, kids see that and they see, well, where's a great pre-professional camp or just an arts camp that's a great place for me to spend some time this summer. And the word is definitely getting out that Sitka is a place that you want to be. So we're starting to attract from all over the place. It's very exciting.
And we get to see these diverse campers at final performances coming up.
Right. As the public service announcement told you, the final performances for the high school session start this evening. And they run Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Tonight's program is going to be on campus at the Otis Theater. And then the next two nights will be happening up at the Performing Arts Center.
So, Scott, what classes do you teach?
I'm teaching three classes. One is called the Physical Theater Workshop. And that's a process-oriented class. We're not working toward performance. We're just breaking down some specific approaches to having a strong stage presence physically. And then the other two classes are performance-driven. One of them is an introductory mime class, and the other is a more intermediate advanced mime class. So we're working a lot with just creating illusions and telling stories with our bodies and not relying so heavily on our spoken word.
And when will we see your students perform?
Those groups will be performing tomorrow night.
At the Performing Arts Center?
Yes.
Okay, Andrew, how about your students? What do you teach and when are your students performing?
I'm a choir guy, so I do the camp choir. And there's also a vocal solo class that I do. And then there's another a colleague of mine, Karen Neal. She teaches a couple of other vocal classes as well. And then I team teach musical theater with W.T. McRae. He's from New York. So the choir will perform on the final night, Saturday night, and musical theater will be tomorrow night. And then on Saturday afternoon, there's sort of an art extravaganza that happens from 1 o'clock till 4 o'clock, approximately. And there'll just be performances going on all over the SJ campus. So just walk onto the campus and just follow your ears, follow your eyes. There are just going to be things set up all over the place. And so my vocal solo students will perform that afternoon, I think at 2 o'clock. I'm still checking the times. But just the afternoon on Saturday, there'll be all kinds of things, small ensembles, art galleries, presentations happening all over the campus.
And how do the students feel about final performances? Is this a high or a low? I mean, there's just this constant activity. I mean, how do you pace these kids?
Yeah, I mean, it is a high. It's the culmination and the energy. I don't know where they get it, but it continues to grow as they get, you know, less and less sleep, it seems. They are able still to bring all their energies to those final performances. And it's quite a buzz happening now on campus because we're so close.
Yeah, it's always definitely a highlight. And I'm always amazed. I mean, I love just, like tonight, I don't have anyone performing. So I just get to sit back. And I remember so many moments where I think, wow, I didn't know half my bass section was taking ballet, or I had no idea that this soprano can also play violin. I mean, you get to see them doing all kinds of things. But we really try. It's hard not to, but we try to put not an emphasis on this is we're moving to the final performance. This is the most important thing that we do. We really stress the process of making art. And the performance is really just a snapshot. This is what we've been doing. This is what we've been working on. We're in no way trying to say this is the definitive choir performance of the year. You know, but you'll still see a high level of performances happening from all the different students. But we really just try to focus with the students that, again, like lighting the fire with them, that they can get excited about something. And then they perform it. They get on stage. They take that risk. They have a bit of success with it. And then they go home and they find new ways to explore whatever they've started at camp, because they can come and really focus on something in depth or try something completely new. And many campers are doing both of those things. They're really working on something and then they're trying animation for the first time. You never know.
And that sounds great, that folks should go to maybe all three performances and sort of see what great Renaissance men and women you're producing.
They're different. I mean, every single night you're going to see something different every night. So it's in no way a repeat.
Yeah. It seems to me that the focus on the Friday night program is more with the theater and dance But there will be some music then as well. And then on Saturday night, it's more the music program with a little bit of theater and movement fed in there as well. So yeah. I would definitely encourage people to come to several of the shows. And then you'll have that experience of seeing some of these kids do, you know, solo on a saxophone. And then the next day, they'll show up clowning or something right. like that. It's inspirational.
Absolutely.
So the performances are Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They all start at 7 p.m.?
That's yes. correct.
Is there a cost?
No, it's free, but we certainly would welcome donations.
They definitely will have donation baskets out. We would appreciate that very much.
And you can go to the Sitka Fine Arts Camp website for more details, I imagine.
Always fineartscamp.org.
Terrific. I'd like to thank my guests, Scott Davis and Andrew Hames, telling us a little bit about the final performances. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ollie.